Our next MLS match is tomorrow, and it's an Eastern Conference matchup between the Atlanta United and the Columbus Crew at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Our coverage begins 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. And welcome back to Get Up. I'm Ryan Smith in for Mike Greenberg. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. We got a lot to get to, especially in the NFL. So let's say good morning and get up with an appetite for football, shall we? Zeke Elliott has reported to camp, and he is hungry to prove that this is the Cowboys' year. And while Packers fans try to decode Aaron Rodgers' mixed messages, we'll tell you why former teammate doesn't believe the MVP will play this season. Plus, we're one step closer to Texas and Oklahoma changing the game in college. What does that mean for the state of college football? We'll talk about that and more as we get up right now. And we start in Big D with the Cowboys because Cowboys camp is officially underway. Star running back Ezekiel Elliott looks to bounce back from a very down season in 2020. And Zeke spoke on his expectations heading into the season. Take a listen to this.
I think this the hardest part about last year is just kind of feeling like you let your teammates down. And, you know, that hurts. And, you know, I want to make sure that I put my best step forward and do everything that I need to do to help this team win. I mean, you got to experience the lows to enjoy the highs. So, I mean, definitely had some lows last year, so I'm ready to experience the highs this year.
Especially with those lows last year. Jeremy Fowler, RC, Rob Ninkovich back with us. Jeremy, where is Zeke at now compared to last season?
Well, Ryan, this is a guy who lost his spot in the pantheon of running backs. You talked to people around the league, they said, look, he's played a little heavier the last few years. Less explosive plays. The Cowboys believe he is in the best shape of his life. And those same evaluators believe Zeke Elliott is still the best pure runner in football when he's right, when he's in great shape. So the Cowboys are about to find out.
Yeah, there's a lot of smart people out there who believe that the Cowboys will go as far as Zeke goes. So, Nink, what are the expectations for Zeke this season for you?
I mean, I'd love to see him get up in there in the top five in the running back position in the NFL. We've seen him play at a high level. And look, he's going to be doing this, but maybe now this offseason he was eating more salad instead of some of the bigger, heavier foods out there. So I think by the photos that he has posted and the way that he does look now, he has definitely taken this offseason way more seriously in his preparations for this season. So for me, he understands the importance of his role on this team, where this team needs him to be at for them to be successful. So catching the ball out of the backfield, running the ball from the at-home position, he's going to have to be a great player for this team. Dak's going to need him to be a great player for this team. So for me, I would like to see him get into that top five range, and I think he can do it.
Yeah, let's put that picture back up again, because that is not a guy who that's been hanging out at Chick-fil-A's getting the 50 pieces. That's a Panera Bread guy. That's the salad aisle guy. RC, what do you expect
there's
from
no
Zeke
bread.
Looking at
no,
a picture like
no
this?
No bread.
Hey, guys, it's not about pictures. It's about the work. It's about the focus. And when I think of Ezekiel Elliott, I think of a man that had pride. A man that has pride. I've trained a guy this offseason who's an undrafted free agent with the New Orleans Saints. He's from St. Louis, and he talked about his first chance or his first time getting run over, and he was talking about Ezekiel Elliott, and he was like, yeah, that dude went for like 200-300 against anybody. That's that pure runner that Jeremy Fowler is talking about, but pure running ability can't make you successful for a long time in this league. So when you think about his focus, when you look at his body, when you listen to him talk, when you hear the things coming out of Dallas, that he is dead set on regaining his spot atop the NFC, atop the NFL as one of its best rushers, that bodes well for the Dallas Cowboys. From 2016 to 2019, the Dallas Cowboys ranked in the top five in a lot of scoring categories, top 15 in a lot of yardage categories. That's because Ezekiel Elliott ran and controlled the ball. That's what they have to get back to. Do you want to solve the problem of having an all-time terrible, trash, hot garbage defense? Then keep them off the field. And that's what Ezekiel Elliott can do. And that's what I expect him to do this year.
You make a great point, because a good ground game means the defense stays off the field. And that's good things for Dallas considering that D. So, Rob, does this mean for you, if you think the same way, does this mean for you that Zeke is pretty much the most important person in terms of Dallas's goals, which, as your fan in the last hour said, NFC championship game or bust?
Yeah, so listen, a great running game helps out a quarterback as well. And when you can run the football, we've seen it with Tennessee, we've seen it with Tampa Bay. When you can run the football efficiently, you can get the ground game going. It helps your quarterback mix in the play action pass. It helps your receivers and your tight ends get open in the passing game. So I think it is vital that they run the football with success. And what happens when you run the football? RC said it, you win the time of possession battle. You look at the end of game stats, and the time of possession usually favors the team that had the most amount of rushing yards. So when they have won in the past, Zeke runs for over 100 yards. When they lose, he runs for under 70. So again, I think it's very important that he runs the football. It's going to help Dak. It's going to help the receivers. It's going to help the tight end. It's going to help everybody. So they have to get back to running the football. A great balanced team has the best chance of winning. So if you're one-dimensional, absolutely, the defenses can just draw up defenses and how to stop you. When you have a great running game, it helps you.
Yeah, as important as Dak might be to that offense and this team, Zeke might be just as important. Now, speaking of important, we got 4 days left until Packers training camp, and the most important man to that team is that guy, Aaron Rodgers. And yet the drama continues. Rodgers has yet to report for the Packers' activities this offseason. And it got interesting yesterday because former teammate JaMychal Finley gave his thoughts. Take a listen.
The Rodgers I know and the character I know, I think he's not going to play. He's a very interesting cat. You know what I mean? He's a very hard guy to read, if you want to say.
Okay, so I like that part right there. He's a very hard guy to read. Jeremy, I start with you. Where do things stand on this, let's call it standoff, between the Packers and Rodgers?
Well, Ryan, multiple league sources I've talked to believe that Aaron Rodgers does not want to play there any longer. And so if he shows up for training camp, whenever he shows, he's probably not going to be overjoyed about it. It could be a bit awkward. And I talked to one source that said, I don't know that the Green Bay Packers can make him happy at this point. Now, the Packers have a shareholders meeting. They're a publicly owned company. On Monday, Aaron Rodgers could wait till after that, let them stew a little bit before he ultimately makes his decision. There's still a faction of the league that believes, because of the fines involved, the money involved, he could be leaving on the table. The team the Packers have and his competitiveness to want to play, that he will show eventually.
Okay, RC, at what point does this, because we get the idea that Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem to want to be there, but at what point does this cause a fracture in the locker room? Because you heard Finley talk about it. It's a hard guy to read. You're coming into training camp, and your superstar, the guy who's going to get you to the promised land, is not there.
Well, it's not going to call a fracture in the locker room, because it's not going to be between players. It's going to be that separation of the executive level and the locker room, the ownership and the players, or in this situation, the GM and the president.
But you don't get mad as a player? You don't get mad as a player in that locker room saying, hey, when's he coming back? I don't know how to read this situation.
No, you don't get mad, because what you understand is relationships in the locker room are different, right? All my teammates weren't my friends, and all my friends weren't my teammates. Everybody's not going to have that relationship with Aaron Rodgers, if anybody does. And we are all independent contractors. These dudes in the Green Bay Packers have to go out and play for themselves. They can't be concerned with what Aaron Rodgers is doing, because obviously Aaron Rodgers is concerned with Aaron Rodgers, the individual, Aaron Rodgers' feelings as it pertains to the Green Bay Packers and the decisions that they have made, as it feels or as he feels it affects his career. And so as players, you just got to go out and work. You got to go out and support Jordan Love if he's the quarterback. This thing doesn't get real until Aaron Rodgers misses regular season games. Not preseason practice, not preseason games, regular season games. Because when that happens, it's going to be either we can win with Jordan Love and we don't need Aaron Rodgers, or Aaron, you see we can't win without you. If you care about this team, if you want to be a part of this team, are you going to come back and fix this? And when that happens, we'll have our answer both ways, and we'll know if Aaron Rodgers will ever be a Green Bay Packer again.
Okay, so let's talk about the regular season game part of it. Rob, who has the most to lose in your mind if Aaron Rodgers does not play regular season games?
Look, I think the team does. And you think about Aaron Rodgers, It's not about the money. He's already made a lot of money. I think well over $200 million. Listen, we were talking about his quotes on the Milwaukee Bucks. He owns a piece of the Bucks. You know, like when he was saying we, yeah, because he owns a piece of them. Mm. So Aaron Rodgers, for him and where he's at, it's more about the relationship and something that has gone on inside that building that we don't know about because no one has talked about it. But I think Matt LaFleur, the management, those guys are under the pressure because now they're going to have to go and be great coaches. They're going to have to be out there and doing the best that they can so they can win football games. Aaron Rodgers at this point is just like, look, I have told you guys what I want. You're not doing it for me. Well, now you have your first round quarterback. Now you have the draft pick that you moved up to go get. Put him out there. Coach him up. Make him the MVP. I'll be sitting back, you know, relaxing this year. I'll get a lot of rehab. I'll feel amazing. So I don't think the pressure's on Aaron Rodgers. Look, and he's always talked about it's a perfect mystery. Aaron Rodgers is a perfect mystery. Like, we don't know. So he's going to be relaxed in this situation.
He's a beautiful mystery. RC, it looks like you need some
mystery.
Tylenol or something. You all right?
No. Did you just hear what? See, y'all don't be listening to Nico. I listen to Nico. Nico just said something, man, that hit home for me. Nico basically said, you know what Aaron Rodgers is about to make people do? They got darn job, right? Coaches, you're going to have to coach. Executives, you're going to have to make decisions because Aaron Rodgers feels that y'all ain't been doing the right things. And the reason that all of that is masked is because of me. And the person that you do wrong, the person that you go out and move up to get his replacement, is me? Well, I'm about to show the world that you, Brian, as I said the other day, Mr. GM, since we're calling GMs by names and we're saying we, Brian ain't Aaron Rodgers GM. You ain't do the right job. So as I sit home, as I don't play for the Green Bay Packers, the rest of the world is going to see that. Ninkovich is exactly right. Aaron Rodgers wants to make the people in that building do their job without him. And I think we'll get to see that.
Okay. One way or another, we'll get to see what job they do, if he's back or not. All right, guys, let's get to a little more or less. And we'll start with Aaron Rodgers. And RC, I'll start with you. Considering the situation around him, more or less than 37 touchdown passes.
Less? Like, I mean, y'all threw me some layups early. This is the easiest layup. How in the hell he gonna throw 37 touchdowns from his house? Have you ever seen somebody throw 37 touchdowns from the crib? Ain't no way you could do that in California or Colorado if he's hanging out with his fiance. This is an easy one. Less is less is less. My man's going to be working on Jeopardy, skydiving in jungles with jungle cats, and hanging out with important people.
Rob, more or less than 29 touchdowns for Trevor Lawrence.
Ooh, Trevor Lawrence. I think he's going to put it less. He's going to throw for less. And I say that because he's going to be thrown into the fire early. We know he's the number one overall pick, but he's not with a very great team. They're going to have to rebuild. We'll see how many he throws, but I just think it's less. He's going to be a starting rookie in the NFL. They're going to be licking their chops.
Yeah, it's not going to be easy for him. Now, speaking of rebuild, RC, I'll come back to you. More or less than 21 touchdowns for Zach Wilson.
More. You got to throw the ball more when you're losing, right? When you lose, you got to go throw the ball more. Because he's going to have great protection on the left side with two very young, very talented offensive linemen. You go out and you add some pieces to the outside. You bring in Corey Davis, who's a former top 10 pick, who has a lot of talent. Zach Wilson, we already know, has arm talent. You're going to want to see what he can do. He is going to be a dude that's going to put the ball in the air and give his team opportunity to make plays. More for Zach Wilson.
Okay, I think the better question with him is interceptions, but we'll see how it works out. Now, coming up, Big Ben and the Steelers are back at camp. When will we see the team that started 11-0 last season or the version that fumbled out of the playoffs? Plus, is it possible to disrespect a player while acknowledging he's the greatest of all time? How Tom Brady is finding new ways to remain motivated? This is interesting. Get up. Comes back soon.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
I've yet to see someone have a stronger arm than me.
Speed, strength, awareness.
Oh my God, that's not terrible.
Your rating's gonna be what?
You better be 99.
Let's go!
Time to get your eyes checked, brought to you by America's Best Contacts and Eyeglasses. Had to show an adventurous fielding week from the New York Mets. On Monday, against the Reds, Luis Guillorme trying to go to it for third, but he bobbles the ball right there and then watch him throw it away. And then earlier in the day, yeah, there you go, facing the Mets, Taiwan Walker thinks the ball's foul. Look at how he knocks it away. He slaps it towards the dugout, but the umpire calls it fair and 3 runs score. Not a good week for the Mets defensively. Hoping for a good season for the Steelers. At least they are in Steeltown. They're the other team to complete their first day of training camp yesterday, led by quarterback Ben Roethlisberger. The Steelers look to build off that early hot start from last season. And Ben says, look, this is a new year.
Yeah, my arm feels a lot fresher, if you will, just because this time last year I had thrown thousands of footballs trying to get ready for this. And this year, today was the first day I've thrown a ball to me. I'll be throwing to my son in the backyard. So yeah, it feels more normal of an offseason, if you will. So my arm feels really, really good.
Ben, last week, Bill Cowher said, knowing you, maybe you're filing away some of the things that are being said about you nationally. Do you use that as motivation here?
Are things being said nationally about me?
A little bit here.
Oh, okay. What's new?
Okay, so we can't motivate Big Ben. That's okay. But Jeremy Fowler, talking about the national media is one thing. What's the league saying about this guy, Big Ben?
Brian, the league is way higher on the Steelers than the media is, largely because of their defense. They believe they have the best defensive front, perhaps, in all of football. They can single-handedly win games with those players on that defensive side. Minkah Fitzpatrick at safety might be the best in the game. And yeah, the offensive line has been a problem, but it was the worst-kept secret in the draft when the Steelers took Najee Harris. And you don't take Najee Harris in the first round unless you plan to fix your running game in a big way. So I think you're going to see a little more of the ground and pound. It's still Ben Roethlisberger's game to spread the ball around to 4 or 5 receivers and do those things. But I think they'll mix and match a little better than they did a year ago and be able to move the ball and control the clock.
Okay, but Rob Ninkovich, the other side of this is you've got a revamped offensive line with 4 new starters and Ben Roethlisberger, what, 38, 39 years old at this point. What chance do they have on offense to really field a championship-quality team with that situation on their line?
Well, it starts up front. They're going to have to protect Big Ben better. And I'm not going to be one of these guys that's talking bad about Ben Roethlisberger. He's been a great football player for a very long time. And last year when they were 11-0, the same people that are talking about replacing Big Ben and the Steelers, they're done, were saying how great they were when they were 11-0. So I'm not going to sit here and say that he's an issue. I think that last year they had a problem running the football, which you can't put that in Big Ben's problem. He didn't cause that. So they had to revamp the offensive line. They've done that. Now, I think the most important thing, it's just like the secondary, just like defense, everyone has to be on the same page. You have to do your job. So the center has to make out the front calls. He has to have communication with the guards. The guards have to talk to the tackles. The tackles then relay the message back to the center. So it's about forming that camaraderie, that communication level, so you're comfortable. So they have a lot of work to do right now in training camp. That's when you do this. This is when you build that wall. That's when you start the building blocks, the process to having the great communication that gets into the regular season. Then you have confidence. Then you can go run the football. Then you can protect your quarterback. So it starts up front. They're going to have to protect Big Ben. That's vital.
Yeah, I'm with you on this one, Rob. It's not, no one has any, at least not me, I don't have any doubts about Big Ben and the fact that he can be great. It's playing behind that new line that's trying to get the messages together between each other and protect him at the same time. That's going to be a challenge. So, RC, I asked this of Rob last hour. I want to ask you now, which side is more important to the Steelers, the offense or the defense? Because in our meeting before the show, you mentioned this is a championship caliber defense.
I think it's the defense. And obviously, the offense is the side we'll pay more attention to, right? Because we'll expect that side of the football to carry this team throughout the early part of the season. But when it really gets down to it, they're going to depend on this defense to rush the passer. They're going to depend on this defense to turn the football over. And if they do all of those things, then that allows your offense to come along. That allows Najee Harris to become the focal point of this offense, where the run game leads into the play action game. And now Juju and Claypool and Johnson, and now all of these guys can be involved. But that can't happen if you are not stopping people. And so early on in the season, in the middle of the season, late in the season, it's going to be what type of havoc can TJ Watt, what type of havoc can Minkah Fitzpatrick reap on other offenses to allow this offense shorter fields, more possessions, and have to score less points. It's defense all the way, because we all know it's all about when they play sticks and they play renegade, the lights shut off in the stadiums and the Steeler highlights come on, because, oh, mama, I'm in fear for my life from the long arm of the law.
Spoken like a former Steeler. Thank you, gentlemen. Appreciate it. All right. Hey, now on to baseball, because I got to show you this game of the night. Yankees, Red Sox. Does it get any better than this? Red Sox 7-2 against the Yankees this season. We'll take you to bottom nine. Red Sox down 3-1. Runners on first and second, two outs. Kike Hernandez, the double to left center field off Chad Green. Jaron Duran, Alex Verdugo, both coming to score. Game tied, 3-3. Sox fired up. Look at the bench. Bottom 10.
Brown.
Brooks Kreske, a very unbelievable sequence here. Watch this. Kreske throws a wild pitch into the dirt. Rafael Devers advances to third. Okay, remember we're in extras. Devers on third. Kreske with a second wild pitch. Devers comes in to score. Now we're tied up, 4-4. All right, Xander Bogaerts on first after being walked, and Kreske again, a wild pitch. Bogaerts advances to second. Now Sox have runners in scoring position. And then that happened. A fourth wild pitch past Rob Brantley. Four wild pitches in the 10th. Tied for the most in a single inning by a pitcher all time. And then that is the capper. Hunter Renfroe with the sack fly to right field. Bogaerts tags, scores the walk-off. Red Sox winners 5-4. Their 30th comeback win of the season. Our next MLS match is tomorrow, and it's an Eastern Conference showdown. Atlanta United, Columbus Crew at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. Our coverage begins 3:30 Eastern, 12:30 Pacific on ABC, ESPN Deportes, and the ESPN app. Now coming up, the saying goes you need an elite quarterback to win the Super Bowl, right? But Ryan Clark says that isn't quite true. RC, explain your tweet. It's coming up on Get Up.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Back with you on Get Up. And meanwhile on planet Earth, the NBA champs celebrated in Milwaukee with a parade through the Cream City. Now, as tends to be the case in these events, there's someone always that you don't expect that steals the show. And this time, it was the guy swigging that champagne bottle, PJ Tucker.
When I came here, they're like, yo, you got to, like, show, like, you got to be the dog. And I'm like, we got dogs. Like, they just ain't, like, we. Like, I got here, like, we already got dogs. They just don't know how to be dogs, and we going to be dogs. And our dogs is crazy. We got dogs, you hear me? Milwaukee, we dogs.
Milwaukee, we dogs. The new sentiment out of Milwaukee. All right, RC, it's time for you to explain your tweet. Now, this is interesting. Do you have to be a top-tier quarterback to win the Super Bowl in this era of the NFL? RC, please explain.
Yeah, see, like, this one's not the fun type, you know, Ryan. This is more a Ryan Smith tweet than a Ryan Clark tweet, because it was actually something that you had to think about, and it was something that people would, you know, attribute to a very smart man, which sometimes I don't think people necessarily give me, but they always give it to you, you know, law degree, all this stuff. I've seen you on all kind of shows. And so think about this, right? You have Tom Brady recently, but you also have Patrick Mahomes, but you also have Nick Foles. And was Tom Brady truly an elite level quarterback at the time they won the Super Bowl? Or was it more about the players around him and the defense? He did throw 3 interceptions in the NFC Championship. So it just got me to thinking, because so many people hate Tom Brady now, right? They say he's not the same, that he's fell off, that he was carried, but it's Tom Brady. It's the GOAT. He is elite level. The things that he brings along with what he does puts you at an elite level. So do you need a Patty Mahomes to beat him? Do you need an Aaron Rodgers to beat him? Can Baker Mayfield ascend there? Is it Russell Wilson? Is it going to be a guy like Josh Allen? Entering training camps, how many teams have a quarterback that they feel can win the championship? And I think that number may be 5 or 6. And so everybody else is just playing to play.
It's interesting. And we started looking back at the previous Super Bowl champions. And you make a good point. Is it the quarterback or is it things around him? You had Brady in 21, Mahomes before that, then Brady, Nick Foles, the exception, Brady, Manning, Brady, Wilson, and then all the way back in 2013, Joe Flacco. Nick, is an elite quarterback needed to win the Super Bowl in this year?
An elite mindset, yes. So when you talk about your more than just throwing the football, most of these quarterbacks, I would say every single quarterback that has won a Super Bowl has that mindset that is infectious. It carries on to the next person, and they want to win. They want to do what's best for the team. And look, Tom Brady, I was his teammate. He is the epitome of making the guys around him better and work harder and achieving the best that they can possibly be on the football field, because it's the way you see him every single day come into the building. You see him on the airplane going home from a win or a loss in his computer, watching plays for the next game that you're, you know, a week away from. Everyone else is playing cards and you know, got their solo cup, and Tom's over there watching film. So it's infectious. And I think that you have to have that elite mindset. So yes, you have to be elite, but you got to have it up here, and it's not so much your skills.
And you know what that makes me think of, Rob? And RC, you talked about this earlier in the show, the idea that Joe Burrow was in the cafeteria looking at film. That same kind of Brady mindset of, like, I'm focused on the job, and that's what dominates my sense. That's what dominates what I do. You wonder if Burrow could be the kind of quarterback that a Brady could be if you've got that kind of elite mindset. So let's talk more about Tom Brady. He received his 7th Super Bowl ring yesterday, turns 44 next month. But he remains as motivated as ever. Look at that bling. And he talked about what fuels him, right? After all these years, look at him. He looked just as happy as he always was to win a Super Bowl. But he talked about what fuels him, about all those teams that made a pass on him as a free agent last offseason.
There's private things for me that are going to remain, you know, motivational for me. So they know who they are. I mean, they know that the teams
know. You think
they
know?
Yeah, the teams know who were probably interested in. Yeah, I mean, it's fine. I mean, everyone's got a choice to choose. You know, I think what you realize is that there's not as many smart people as you think. You know, it's just the reality. I think it'd be a no-brainer if you said, you know, hey, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky on your team, or you get a chance to have Michael Jordan on your team. Oh, we don't need him. You know, no thanks. We're good. You know, I'm kind of thinking, okay, well, let me go show those teams what they're missing.
You know, what's interesting about that, and our control room just pointed this out, Rob, not only is Tom Brady speaking out in a way that we've never seen him, but he's looking into the camera. talking about those teams, talking about what they missed out on. Like, he's making the point directly to them. You played with Tom Brady all these years. What do you make of this Tom Brady that we're seeing now?
That's the confidence that Tom has. And he's, look, he's one of the most confident players that I've ever played with. And for the majority of his career, yes, he has been very humble. He says all the right things. But also on the flip side of that, I know RC has played against him. He can sometimes be pretty confident in everything that he does. So for me, I love it. I love seeing him talk. I love seeing him talk the way that he's talking right now. He is confident. He understands that he is one of the best, if not the best quarterback to ever play the game. And I love it. I don't know when they filmed this. They might have filmed this at the ring ceremony. I'm sure he had a few of these. So he was feeling lovely, kind of like when he was throwing the Lombardi trophy boat to boat. But anyway, I love it. That's Tom. He's confident, and you better believe that he is keeping himself motivated. Early in his career, it was because he was passed up and drafted low in the draft. Now he's looking at it as, look, I was one of the best, comparing himself to Gretzky and Jordan, which he should, as he should, and other teams passed him, said, no, we're good. We got these young guys that have potential, and Tom Brady's like, look at my resume right now.
Go ahead,
think
RC.
Think about this, guy. Think about this, right? Tom Brady was drafted in the sixth round. He was the 199th pick. And guess what? He should have been, right? When you looked at his film, when you looked at his workouts, when you watched him at the combine, that was not wrong. But Tom Brady spent his entire New England Patriot career proving that everyone had made a mistake, even the Patriots who passed on him I don't know how many times before they drafted him. So here's what happened to Tom Brady. During that time, he understands he's become the GOAT, and he's like, boy, if I ever hit the market, I already know there's going to be teams lined up to get me. And his agent is telling him that, and Giselle is telling him that, and his kids are telling him that, and Rob Ninkovich and Teddy Bruschi and all of these people that say that Tom Brady can do no wrong is telling him, Tom, when you hit the market, you're going to be the hottest thing out there because you are a dime. And then he hit the market, and they was like, but wait. Maybe not. We kind of like this guy, and we kind of like that guy. And so right away, it put him right back in that place of being that six-round draft pick. The thing he had worked 2 decades to not be, the thing he had worked 2 decades to prove people wrong, he was right back in that place. And he thought about that all year. Now, was Tom Brady the best quarterback of the season or the best quarterback in football last year? Hell no. But he's a quarterback that won a Super Bowl. He's a quarterback that took a team that didn't make it to the playoffs and won a Super Bowl with him. And so now, after you made me feel like this over the offseason, you think I'm not going to talk my stuff? You think I'm not going to look in the camera with avocado ice cream and avocado tequila and this new big ring that I ain't got no finger on and point you out? I wish I would. Tom Brady know he the GOAT. Y'all just ain't know it during the summer.
I love it. So, Jeremy, let's bring you in because, you know, Ryan's talking about how teams prefer this guy or that guy over him. What were talent evaluators around the league saying about Brady in that year before he won the Super Bowl? What were they seeing in the Tom Brady?
Well, some thought his arm strength looked like sour avocado ice cream coming out of 2019. Now, we know RC is not overly impressed by that elite collection of Patriots receivers that he was throwing to in 2019. But I talked to teams and execs who thought, look, it looks like the skill set is finally declining. And then we get to 2020, and he's one of the best deep ball throwers in the league. And these people are shocked that he got it all back. Now, I know he had better weapons, better roster around him. In fact, you talk to people around the league who think that the Bucs have the best roster in all of football. That's why they had to go get Tom Brady and move on from Jameis Winston. They needed somebody to lead them, to show them how to win. They didn't know what that looked like. Tom Brady put that all together.
And you guys made the great point. It's the winning mindset that he brought to this team that helped them get over the top. And frankly, like you say, RC, get in the playoffs in the first place. So let's play a little more or less, shall we, and keep it in the quarterback realm. And Rob, I'll start with you. More or less than 25 touchdown passes for Carson Wentz.
I'm going more. Listen, he's in a new place right now. He's in a new city. He's back with his old coach. Just like back in high school, just go have fun, man. Just throw that ball. I think he's going to have a great year. I'm excited to watch him have a great year. So I'm going with more.
Speaking of guys in new places, more or less than 28 touchdown passes for Matthew Stafford. This feels like a layup for RC.
Oh, man, this is not a layup. I'm dunking this. Listen, I'm being the guy that DeAndre Ayton couldn't be late in that playoff series against the Milwaukee Bucks. Throw it up to the rim, slam. 28 is going to be easy. Have you listened to Sean McVay talk about Matthew Stafford, how excited he is to have this new presence as the quarterback of this team and the things that he thinks he can do with them? By the way, you just lose Cam Akers, so there's going to be more pressure and more put on Matthew Stafford. He's going to obliterate 28 touchdowns.
Okay, Rob, let's talk Ryan Fitzpatrick. More or less than 23 touchdowns?
Listen, I'm going with less. I haven't seen David Copperfield perform in years. Where did he go? I don't know. That Fitzpatrick's magic is going to disappear. It's going to turn into a tragedy this year. I think he's going to throw for less.
Okay, you know what? We're giving people all these picks on these prop bets. You're welcome, America. Head over to Vegas because some of these picks, it's like, take that money now. Well, coming up, college football. Will Texas and Oklahoma join the SEC? And here's the big question. How's that going to reshape college sports across the country? Well, we've got the latest coming up on Get Up.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Back with you on Get Up, and let's go to college football, where Big 12 athletic directors, university presidents, and chancellors held a video conference on Thursday evening to discuss the possibility of Oklahoma and Texas moving to the SEC. Now, both schools were invited to the meeting but declined to participate. So the plot thickens, and we bring in our Heather Dinich, college football reporter, to talk about this. Heather, what sentiment did you hear from people who were on the call last night?
The emotions were certainly running high yesterday evening. There was frustration. There was anger. People I spoke to who were on the call talked about this being relationships, right? And it's important to note that Oklahoma and Texas were not on the call. So as of yesterday evening, the other eight schools, the athletic directors and their presidents and chancellors were trying to figure out what's going on. They were blindsided by this. I mean, a week ago, they were talking about the 12-team college football playoff in the Big 12 and how it would benefit all of them. So there was a sense of trying to figure out as quickly as possible what's happening and how serious are OU and Texas about leaving. As of last night, they didn't know the answer to that question.
So what's their sense of what they want to do next?
While everybody's scrambling right now to figure out exactly what the intentions are of Oklahoma and Texas and what their motivation is, I had one person on that call tell me, look, if this is about money, let's figure out how to get them more money. There are flagship programs. If this is about revenue distribution, let's figure out a way to give them a bigger piece of the pie. So they made it clear yesterday that they want them to stay, but they also made it clear that if Oklahoma and Texas leave, they want to hold them to the grant of right agreements, the TV contract that they signed, and they want them to adhere to the Big 12 bylaw, which states you have to give 18 months notice if you're going to leave. And in this particular case, it would cost Oklahoma and Texas each about $76 million to leave. That's according to Big 12 bylaws.
Hoping to hit them in the wallet to keep them from leaving. So, RC, what's your reaction to all of this?
Hey, man, I mean, ain't this what happened when the NCAA has the leader who just washes his hand of every major thing, right? COVID, hey, conferences, schools, figure it out. NIL, hey, states, y'all figure it out. I don't want nothing to do with it. So people are saying, all right, you're going to make us make all of these decisions ourselves, do all of these things ourselves. Well, we'll form our own super conference. And if I'm Texas and if I'm OU and I do hear that there may be an expansion of college football playoffs, now I know I don't have to stay in the Big 12 and hope to win a weak conference so I can get in. I can go play the Alabamas. I can play the LSUs. I can be in the most prestigious, the most competitive conference in the world and still get an opportunity to play in the college football playoffs. But every single game I play during the season will be big time. Texas and Oklahoma understands that they are the big bank of the Big 12 and that nothing moves and that nothing breathes without them. And you already see, if you listen to Heather, they're already talking about how to give them more money to stay and trying to take money away from them if they leave. Because everyone in that conference knows if those two teams leave, the Big 12 dies.
Yeah, I can't even imagine how they survive something like that. So, Heather, I also can't imagine what other conferences are thinking, looking around at the landscape. I mean, the concern is now you start having super conferences. But I wonder if other conferences are looking at this and saying, hey, what could happen if folks bolt, the big-time programs bolt from our conferences? Is that something that may be on the mind of other conferences around the nation?
Oh, they are watching this like a hawk. You better believe it. And they are all poised to jump if they have to.
Yeah.
I mean, this, if this happens, could be the single biggest thing to affect college football in decades. So we will keep an eye on this. Heather, thank you so much for staying on this for us. All right. Let's move on to this. Explain your tweet. RC is back with us, and we know he loves himself some Joker. So here's what he tweeted. Heath Ledger's Joker is greater than every other villain. RC seems self-explanatory to me, but go ahead.
Like, I'm trying to understand why y'all have me come up here and talk about things that don't need to be explained.
You know what?
And then people, Ryan, I'm just saying, Ryan.
Let me jump in. Let me jump in then. Let me jump in and tell you why we have this here. RC, I don't know if you know this, but there was once a young man, and his name was Anakin Skywalker. That young man grew up to be Darth Vader. And that was the single greatest villain of all time. And here you are using your Twitter account to put that man down in the favor of the Joker.
First off, I'm not putting that man down. That man could wear his helmet. I mean, it even gave us a great spinoff in Spaceballs. Like, Darth Vader has given a lot back to the community. He's given a lot to the people that love movies. And he was cool. But, bro, Heath Ledger was a different person. Right? Like, if you're watching this and you're seeing Heath Ledger and you know Heath Ledger, you're like, that's not even that dude. Right? When he was talking about his pops and he was saying why so serious and why he looked that way, or when he rolled up on Two-Face and he was in the hospital dressed as the nurse, like, dude was dope from beginning to end. Told Batman, I'm not going to lose the battle for Gotham and you in a fist fight. Because I ain't fist fighting, right? Right, he got people trying to beat him up. He taking dudes. He's saying, we only got one fight. Let's one spot. I'm going to break this stick, give it to y'all, and y'all fight it out. Y'all figure it out. The Joker was the greatest villain ever. And you know how I know? You know how I know? Because people like you want to talk about dudes that wear a helmet and we can't see their face, right? The Joker
he
knew.
He wears Heath makeup. Ledger knew.
Because his face was mutilated, Smith.
Nick, jump in here. Who is the greatest
Anakin
villain of all time? Is
it this adversity?
I mean, can I change it? Can I make this a little lighthearted? And can I go with Mr. Freeze? Can I go with Arnold Schwarzenegger Batman? How about that one? How about that one? How about Jim Carrey when he was the Joker? How about that one? That was back when we were kids, though. I would say that Heath Ledger's performance was masterful. So, yes, I would say his performance in that movie was terrific. But I'm going with Arnold Schwarzenegger. Come on. I mean, imagine being painted silver for like 6 months. It'd be terrible.
The whole movie was terrible.
Let's squeeze. We're going to squeeze Rob out of the picture right now. And can we squeeze Ryan Smith as well? Because when I say things that are 100% fact, I don't expect to come on my favorite show and be challenged about them. So I just want the world to know this is the last extent of your tweet. It's over.
They're telling me we got to wrap it. But all I got to say is Darth Vader gave me nightmares for weeks. Weeks. But I get you, and I love the Joker, and he will live on in history. So I'll give you that. First Take is live at the top of the hour. As the Bucks admire their new rings, the crew is debating if we'll see Tampa go back-to-back. Plus, will Aaron Rodgers really sit out the entire season? That and more coming up next. First Take right after Get Up.
Dell Tech Fest starts now. To thank you for 40 unforgettable years, Dell Technologies is celebrating with anniversary savings on their most popular tech. For a limited time only, save on select next-gen PCs like the XPS 13 Plus, where you can make the everyday easier with Windows 11. Unleash more possibilities with cutting-edge systems, their most advanced features, and great prices. Plus, curate your dream setup with deals on select monitors, mice, and more must-have electronics and accessories. When you shop online at Dell.com/deals, you'll have access to state-of-the-art technology to match your forward-thinking spirit and free shipping on everything. Anniversary savings await you for a limited time only at Dell.com/deals. That's Dell.com/deals.
Get Up is brought to you by USAA Insurance, Auto Renters, and Home Insurance. And here's our next UFC fight Saturday from the Apex in Las Vegas. Former champ TJ Dillashaw makes his return to the octagon against second-ranked Corey Sandhagen in the main event. The prelims start at 4 Eastern, followed by UFC. All right, there we go. Now, breaking news. The Cleveland Indians are now the Cleveland Guardians. The announcement was just made by the team on Twitter. There's no word on whether or not that change is going to be effective immediately. But again, the breaking news. The Cleveland Indians baseball team has changed their name to the Cleveland Guardians. Major, major news there. And speaking of big news, look at the New York Daily News with this headline about the NFL calling the shots. NFL makes it clear if you're unvaxxed, players or staff cause a game to be canceled, you forfeit and no one gets paid. Unlike last year, a forfeit will be called this season if all the following circumstances occur. A bunch of things, including medical experts ruling the games can't be played and they can't switch it to another date, and that it was brought on by an unvaccinated player. Here's what DeAndre Hopkins said. Never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL. And Cowboy star Zeke Elliott was asked about the NFL's policy yesterday. All right. And he basically came out and said, frankly, we didn't have that sound right there, but he came out and said, you know, hey, this is kind of the world we live in. So Jeremy Fowler, Rob Ninkovich, I want to bring in right here. And Jeremy, you know, what's interesting is the NFL and the NFLPA had talked about not doing something like this. What's been the reaction around the league?
Well, teams are on high alert, Ryan, because they do not want to discriminate against who's vaccinated and who's not, but they're hoping that positive results take that out of their hands, because I'm told 16 of 32 NFL teams have hit an 85% threshold for vaccinations. The league hopes that by week one, that number will be much higher.
Rob, a couple seconds left. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, look, it's you have to respect someone's choice, and no matter where their stances are, you just try and protect yourself and your family the best way possible. So at the end of the day, you have to respect someone else's decisions.
Okay, absolutely, and we will see how this plays out because that is a big repercussion if, in fact, a game is postponed. Thanks so much, guys. Have a great weekend, everybody. First Take starts now.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.